the bus steps and moved down the narrow aisle between the rows of seats, his little sister trying to get a good peek at the girl.
"What's your name?"
"Nikki."
"Hi, Nikki. My name's Sydney. This is my Ollie. You want to be our best friend?"
"I don't have a best friend," Nikki said.
Nikki looked a little bit scared, like the way Ollie's dad said Sydney might be because she didn't know her way around. Ollie puffed out his chest.
"Well, you got two now."
Chapter 6. Nikki. The powerful engine of Ollie's car roared as we sped down the road. Night passed us by in a blur of city lights that poured in from above, and the silence had its own distinct vibe as it filled the cab of his car. Hot and heavy and confused, with a dash of anger thrown in for good measure. Seemed fitting, considering that was the way this boy always made me feel. Angry and hot and on edge. What the hell had I agreed to? I knew so much better than to bend to his will, so much better than giving in. But how could I not? The truth was, I was scared. Terrified, really. I could feel the note I'd stuffed in my bag burning a hole in the bottom of it. Flames of fear and worry and dread. They'd ignited the second we'd mounted the steps at my apartment, sure it had to be Caleb who was responsible for it all. Should I just say it? Put my theory out there without an ounce of proof? The hardest part was I didn't know if that would be betraying Brenna's trust, disrespecting everything she'd offered me in her fragile state. God, I just couldn't do it. Not with the way Ollie was vibrating beside me like a lunatic. I'd seen it in his eyes, felt it radiating from his body. He wanted to hunt and destroy. I blew out a relieved breath when my phone finally buzzed with a return text. "Brenna, I'm fine. Is something wrong?" "Me." "No, I just wanted to check on you to make sure he was leaving you alone. Please text me if you need anything. I'll be there." I wondered if my demeanor came across as some kind of dirty confession as I tapped out the reply. Or maybe it was just the way Ollie was looking at me as if he wanted all my secrets, because the daggers he was shooting were so intense, I could feel them penetrating the side of my face. Fiery darts. I thought he might have the power to flay me wide open with the passive one. See everything hidden inside. "Brenna, thank you so much for being here for me." I hugged my phone to my chest as if it might send her a hedge of protection, send her my hope and belief in her, for her. Maybe I really had gotten in too deep.
"Who is that?"
Ollie finally demanded, shaking me from my thoughts. I turned to him, taking him in. He barely fit in the space of the seat, his long legs bent and tucked up under the wheel, seat pushed so far back he might as well have been sitting in the back seat. Bigger than life. Always, always filling my sight, eyes unable to look anywhere but at him. He was squeezing the wheel with those massive hands, the muscles in his arms bulging and flexing with uncontainable strength. I squirmed, and my tongue suddenly felt thick where it stuck to the roof of my mouth. I didn't know if it was from looking at him, or from the fact my gut told me not to let him in on the note, not to tell him about the day Brenna had called me right after she'd called the police, and I'd run there to support her. Caleb had called me the very thing that was painted on my door as he was being hauled away. Bitch.
"No one," I told him.
His eyes darted to my phone.
"No one? It's after midnight, Nikki. Don't tell me that's no one. And you refused to call any of our friends. That a guy?"
I almost laughed. Was he serious? He was jealous I might be texting a man? That was exactly what I should have been doing. Texting a guy. Someone who was totally Ollie's opposite. Sweet and stable and harmless. Not a man who could rip me to shreds with nothing but a glance. Not a man who would use me up and toss me aside, then turn around and act as if I owed him something.
"What if it is?" I defended, not even trying to keep the outrage out of my words. He deserved it. "Why do you think it's any concern of yours?"
"Everything you do is my concern. I thought we already established that earlier."
"Right."
It dripped with sarcasm, and I jerked my attention forward, my jaw working hard, propelled by a surge of fury. I stared out the windshield.
You've sidelined every single one of my relationships, convinced me they weren't good enough, or you decided it for me and took it upon yourself to scare them away. I told you, you don't get to do that anymore. Not after last year. Over the years, I'd dated. Never seriously. I'd never fully allowed myself to fall because I'd been waiting on him to come to his senses, to see me, to feel me the way I felt him. Or maybe it had just been impossible to fall because I already belonged to him. My heart too tangled and wrapped up in him to recognize anyone or anything else.
If that's a guy, then I need a name.
His voice came hard, as sharp as a wielded knife. No question, a threat to cut without hesitation. My laugh was one of disbelief. I gave a short shake of my head. No, Ollie, you don't. For the last 14 years, I'd had to watch him with an endless string of girls, painfully pretending as if it didn't matter. I'd done it after he'd broken me when I was 16 because I'd wanted to give him the space and the time to heal. But when he'd done it again, as if he didn't think it wouldn't destroy me, I was done. I would no longer allow Oliver Preston to trample all over me. I was moving on, the best I could, the only way I knew how.
Told you earlier you need someone looking after you. Should be clear enough after that shit went down at your apartment.
His voice was gruff like he was scolding a child. No, I don't. I'm a grown woman. And yeah, I appreciate you being there for me tonight. That's what friends do, but I don't need someone else to approve who I see or who I am with. I've never tried to do it with you, and it's high time I stopped allowing you to do it to me.
Veins bulged in his arms from the pressure he was exerting on the steering wheel, and that energy flared. Friction and gravity. Barbed spikes penetrated my skin. I shuddered around it. Just didn't think you were the boyfriend type.
It was basically a grunt from his sexy mouth. Was he for real?
Since when?
I challenged. Ollie's jaw clenched in discomfort. Good. Maybe for once he would understand what it felt like. He didn't care. He didn't care. I had to keep telling myself that. What made it worse was the thought of inflicting even an ounce of pain on him made me sick. He'd always thought he was the one who needed to stand up and protect me, but it was me who ached to protect him, shield him and hold him, wishing he'd find that solace in me.
Just tell me who you're texting,
he demanded instead of answering my question. For a flash, he turned that potent gaze on me, black sapphire, angry and hard. These are the parts of my life you don't get, Ollie. Some things are private. Like the relationships I have with the women who come to sessions. They're trusting in me, and there is no way I can allow you to get in the middle of that. And you know what? If I am dating someone, you don't get that either. It's none of your business. You gave up that right a long time ago. You either need to respect that or accept that I can no longer be in your life. A breath left him on a hard exhale, and his entire being flinched. He looked as if he'd taken a swift kick to the gut, shocked. Maybe I should have laid it out between us long ago. Boundaries and rules. God knew I'd been following his for too long.
Is that what you want? Me out of your life?
He kneaded the wheel as he said it, agitation coming off him in powerful waves. I stared across at him, at his face, his cheeks and his lips and the profile of his beard. My beast. No, I said quietly. It was the honesty that came out behind it that made it ring in the air. Slowly, he nodded.
Don't mean to be an asshole every day of my life.
Are you sure about that? I said, my voice cracking with the strain as I let myself tease. A gruff laugh left his sexy mouth. I tried to still the tremor the sound evoked in the depths of me. There was nothing I loved more than the sound of Ollie happy. Pathetic, wasn't it? He'd hurt me over and over again, and the only thing in the world I wanted was for him to be happy. The thing was that I knew the real man, the man hidden by layers of hatred and anger and sorrow. I knew the real heart, the heart concealed by the most devastating kind of grief. He eased his fingers through his hair and blew out a sigh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that.
So you just can't help it, I ribbed.
It was so much easier than being mad at him. He cracked a wry grin and peeked over at me.
Just comes naturally, I guess.
Bear, I taunted.
Brat,
he returned. Beast. My heart fisted as we sparred, affection pulling free and spilling into the air. Sunshine. The second he called me that, tears pricked in my eyes. I beat them back, swallowed the lump that bobbed in my throat, and smiled over at him as if he was my oldest friend. Because he was. Thank you for rescuing me tonight, I told him honestly. I would have been terrified if I had walked up on that by myself.
No worries. Rescuing damsels is kind of my thing.
The smirk he gave me was only half-forced. Well, aren't you just the savage savior? He smiled over at me, and I smiled back.
Saving you was always my job.
My insides shook. It was so easy to fall back into rhythm with him. He looked over at me, his expression softening.
Guess I should have known that wasn't a guy.
Why's that? I shouldn't have let him bait me, not when the subject was such a thin, shaky line. He tacked on a dangerous smile.
Because if you were my girl, I'd be right there, protecting you, not texting you like some pussy who doesn't want to get his hands messy.
There was some kind of censure in there, possession and a warning. Yet here you are, protecting me. So badly I wanted to say it, but I bit it back and let a smirk ride to my own mouth. This might be news to you, but being a bossy, overbearing asshole does not make you a man. The brute grinned wide, his big body overflowing in the seat, hands squeezing down on that wheel as if he knew exactly what it was doing to me.
You sure about that?
Positive. Ollie looked over at me. The easiness was gone, obliterated. In its place was a desperate man. The one who'd shown up at my doorstep for seemingly no purpose at all but to check on me, but had been there the exact moment I needed him.
Who did you piss off, Nikki? Need to know. Don't care what it is you've gotten yourself into. Won't be a dick about it. I just need to know.
My chest squeezed, and I had to force out the response. You heard, Seth. It was probably just some kids. He turned back to the road. His big body was slung back deliciously in the seat. Everything about him was wholly overwhelming, utterly overpowering.
Is that what you want me to believe?
He slid the question from between his lips like a low accusation. That was the thing. Oliver Preston did know me, in all the ways that mattered most. But even if I wanted to tell him, it wasn't my right. I couldn't break Brenna's confidence. God knew what Ollie would do if he even thought someone was trying to hurt me. I couldn't risk that. Contemplating, I stared out the windshield, before I murmured, I haven't done anything wrong, Ollie. I didn't know if it was an admission or a defense.
Never said you did, but sometimes doing the right thing puts us in a bad place.
A huff of air blew through my nose. Wasn't that the truth? If I'm in trouble, I'll let you know. I promise, okay? His eyes darted across at me, his lips thinning as he pressed them together.
Thing I'm worried about is you're already there.
2 minutes later, Ollie made a quick left turn onto Macabre Street. Strands of lights twinkled where they crisscrossed over the street, strung between the old renovated buildings to create a cozy vibe. The area was a destination in and of itself. The renovated buildings boasted restaurants and bars and cafes on the bottom floors, and trendy loft apartments with views of the city and the river took up the upper floors. Even though it was after midnight on a weeknight, the sidewalks were dotted with couples that strolled along the storefront windows, wrapped up in each other as if they had nowhere to go, and groups of friends hopped from hotspot to hotspot to drink the night away. I wasn't surprised to see Olive's, Ollie's bar, was still packed. Curtis, the head bouncer, guarded the door, and a row of taxis waited to carry the revelers home after a night of indulging. Ollie made the next left turn and whipped around to the back of the building. He pressed a button, and a large garage door rolled up at one end of the building. He eased his car inside, where his collection of restored cars sat in the private garage that took up a small section at the back of the first floor. He pulled the car into one of the open spots, killed the engine, and hopped out without a word. Almost warily, I unbuckled and climbed out of the car as he grabbed my duffel from the back seat. Raucous voices carried through the walls from the bar. Sydney's soft voice floated to me as if she were standing right at my side, whispering it in my ear, insightful and real. My best friend, who'd understood the world before any of us could. I could almost see her with her face tilted toward the summer sky, her legs dangling over the side of the dock, her toes in the cool water. "I think it's the things that hurt the worst that mean the most, don't you?" she mused, her hair flying around her face as if she'd stirred a new concept that had been waiting to be revealed. "Good or bad, that's what's going to shape us, make us into who we are, guide us on the path to what we want the most." She glanced over at me. "I think we'll know it when there's no other direction we can go, and I'm not going to be afraid of walking it anymore." She wasn't wrong. I gravitated toward this man. But what she was wrong about was not being afraid of walking that path. I knew firsthand it was wrought with peril. Just spending the night here, being in his space, felt as if he was going to break my heart all over again. I also somehow understood there was no other place I could go tonight. He'd found me exactly when I needed him before I'd even realized that need myself. Maybe Ollie had been following his own path. All I knew was he'd been there. For me. I had to be grateful for that. He tossed me a look over his shoulder as he strode toward the building. The man so gorgeous. Big boots eating up the ground with every mind-altering step. So confident and brash and commanding. "Come in, sunshine." That was Ollie's way. Reeling me closer, filling me up, and then cutting me free. Leaving me floating with no safe place to land. I just prayed this time I landed on my own 2 feet.
Chapter 7. Ollie. Footsteps pounded on the damp earth. Desperate. Frantic. Trees rose on all sides, sentries and witnesses, and branches tore into my skin as I ran through the oppressive night. Searching. My eyes blurred in the darkness, muddied by despair. I stumbled through the forest, gnarled roots twisted, like spindly fingers that had clawed out of hell to hold me back. Tears burned my cheeks as the wind blasted my face, cruel like the laughter I swore I heard before it was swallowed by a gust of air. I screamed in the middle of it, "Sydney!" Voice hoarse, throat bleeding with the pain, "Sydney!" "Sydney, Sydney, Sydney." I dropped to my knees. "Sydney." My eyes flew open, and my breaths jutted from my lungs in a panicked rhythm. Pain lanced through my body. Physical. Rending. Pain. I deserved it, but sometimes I wished for one goddamned night of peace. I sat up on the side of my bed. With trembling hands, I raked back my hair that clung to my face, matted and sticky with sweat. Blowing out a breath, I pushed to standing. Through the faint light that bled into my darkened room, my gaze moved to the corkboard against the far wall. Like all of a sudden it might be pointing to the answer of a twisted, intricate mystery. Revealing a secret, directing me to the missing piece. All these years, that was what I'd done. Dug. Watched. Waited. Searching for something. Someday. Someday I would find it. Pushing out a strained breath, I shook off the memories. Nothing but decay, eating away at my insides. Wondered when there would be nothing left. I trudged for the door, needing to get out of this room where the nightmares always reigned. Throat dry and desperate for something to cool the hell living in my belly, I stepped out of my room and headed down the hall. At the end of it, I stopped dead in my tracks. Motherfucker. Motherfucker. I scrubbed both hands over my face, wondering if I was just hallucinating. If I'd thought my throat was dry before, I'd just landed myself in Death Valley. All the lights in my place were off, except for the one inside the refrigerator. The door was wide open, the stark white light illuminating the tight round ass that peeked out. White underwear covered only half of her cheeks, and those long, long legs were bare. Greed tumbled through me like a landslide. I fisted my hands. What in God's name are you doing up? I grated. My voice was so hoarse from sleep, making the words a little more than a grunt. It wasn't like I'd forgotten Nikki had slept in the guest room at the very end of the hall. Just hadn't anticipated finding her like this. Gasping, she whirled around. Big, shocked eyes met mine like she hadn't expected me any more than I'd expected her.
Ollie, you scared the crap out of me, she rasped.
That seemed to be the theme. Her trembling hand flew to her throat like she was trying to ward off the shock, to reassure herself she wasn't in any danger. Standing there, I wondered if that was actually true, because right then I was feeling dangerous, volatile, liable to make all kinds of stupid decisions. Like that night close to a year ago, a night I could barely even remember. All I remembered was pulling that bottle from the shelf and trying to drown the grief. Then I'd woken in her bed. Her naked body against mine, the smell of her on my skin. So fucking perfect in my arms. It was etched and seared and woven with the faint flashes and taunts of memories. Her sweet, sweet touch, and my desperate greed. A permanent scar to remind me I couldn't be trusted. Especially with her. The only thing she'd paired with those underwear was a thin, white tank top, her tiny tits exposed by the skin-tight fabric, nipples just barely peeking through. My damned mouth watered. Those stunning eyes sparked. Purple flames in my kitchen, burning me through as they went skating down my chest and abdomen. The girl was drinking me in like she was just as thirsty as I was. Not helping things, sunshine. Not fucking helping things. Clenching my fists, I did my best to convince my dick this girl was nothing but a skinny, bony stick and so not my type. Hardest part was convincing my traitor heart I hadn't wanted her for my whole life. No matter how much shit was piled on top of why I couldn't have her, there was no way I could ever forget her touch. Her smile and her laugh and the way she made me feel like I was a damn king. Her guardian and shield. I doubted there'd ever be a time when I looked at her and didn't think she was the best damned thing I'd ever seen. Not sure what you expect when you're sneaking around my place in the middle of the night, I finally managed to say, breaking from the spell the girl had me under. Magic in her fingertips, and there I was imagining sucking every single one of them into my mouth, one by one, wondering if she'd groan and go wild or if she'd melt. Didn't know which way I wanted her most. Sucking in a deep breath, she seemed to gather herself. Her brow lifted in speculation as she set the carton of milk on the island, like she'd rummaged through my kitchen a million times before. Guess there was no need to invite her to make herself at home.
Middle of night?
She spun away and hiked up onto her toes to grab a bowl from the cabinet, giving me another flash of that sweet ass. Little tease. She spun back around, and there were those tits. Didn't know which view I liked better. She really was trying to kill me.
I have to be to work in 30 minutes.
My attention immediately shot to the huge, curved bay of windows that overlooked the city. Darkness still hugged the buildings, but the promise of something to come was baited in the sky.
Just because you sleep half the day away, it doesn't mean I get to.
She started to ramble, moving to dig through my pantry and my selection of cereals.
Early bird gets the worm. Or rather, the breakfast pastry pie, whatever you want to call it, and I have to be the one to make sure those pies are ready.
Right. Work. At an ungodly hour. And do you have to do it half naked? Couldn't help but bring attention to her state. It was like only then the girl noticed what she was wearing, or lack thereof. Her full pink lips stretched into a lust-inducing O, and the shock was punctuated by a tiny sound. A rash of fantasies rapid-fired through my brain, closing the distance, taking that mouth, devouring that body, olive skin and slender curves and cupid mouth. Fuck. I wanted her. Wanted her propped on my counter and spread out on my bed. She made an offended sound and angled to the side like that might cover her up. She pointed my direction with one hand while she wrapped her other arm over her tits.
Oh, you think this is funny, do you? Sneaking up on me this way?
I was about to respond, but she didn't let me. That gaze narrowed.
Maybe you really were trying to take advantage of me while I'm here.
How the hell a mountain of a man like you sneaks up like some kind of ninja is beyond me. A chuckle rumbled free, half pained, half amused. This from the girl who decided to parade around my kitchen half naked. Just who is the one who isn't playing fair? You were just asleep, I heard you. Affection and regret pulsed through her expression the second she realized what she said, with what she'd let on. She'd heard me. Fuck, she'd heard me calling out for Sydney. Shame rumbled through my spirit. It was a feeling she only managed to intensify. The girl's magic at work again. Thought she might be the only one who could really understand. Brutal, considering she was the one I couldn't let see. My life was devoted to finding my sister. Whatever it took, whatever the cost. What made it worse was I couldn't look at Nikki without seeing Sydney at her side. Without my mind going to what Nikki and I had done. I couldn't let her light be dimmed, tainted by that vacant, ugly space that roiled inside of me. In a moment of weakness, she'd gotten in there once, and look how that had turned out. I roughed a palm over my face and down my beard. You didn't hear anything, I told her. Any amusement in my voice had been extinguished. That face transformed, and the easy playfulness she normally exuded shifted into some sort of a plea, because when it was just the two of us together, the space between us rippled and danced, begged to be erased. That awareness between us became its own thriving entity, rising from the depths. The girl, a crashing wave that was going to take me under. Ollie, her voice was a petition, pure understanding. Come to me. Too soft and too kind and too full of all the things she couldn't make me feel. Dropping my head, I lifted a hand. Don't. Just... Get dressed. I'll drop you at work. We'll pick up your car after you get off so you have it over here. God knows I don't need to be getting up before the ass crack of dawn to drive you every day. She blinked back at me. You're crazy if you think I'm coming back over here. I think we already established that. Crazy was my goddamned middle name. Those lips pursed in that wild, impassioned way. The girl who saw too much. Too clearly. I'm not coming back here after work. I only agreed to one night. You know I can't stay here, Ollie. I didn't ask why. Both of us knew the answer to that. It still didn't mean I was relenting. Hot air puffed from my nostrils, the same anger from last night slithering beneath the surface of my skin. It's not safe out there, Nikki. Didn't matter that she was all the way across the room. I could still feel the weight of her eyes searching me. I itched beneath it. Tried to shield myself from that feeling that slammed and pulsed and moved. What are you going to do, Ollie? Keep me here so you can keep me safe from all the horrible things that happen in this world? Why now? What changed? Are you joking? Some asshole broke into your house. That changed. It wasn't a big deal, wasn't it? That storm rumbled in the depth of me, a warning, the quake of an omen that ran the length of my spine. Maybe it was because of the anniversary of Sydney disappearing was inching closer. But the dreams had become almost unbearable. Intense. Vivid. Every morning it left me with this gut-deep intuition that something was coming. Something wicked. Just have this bad feeling, okay? I admitted, nothing but a fool. I needed to keep my mouth shut, put a padlock on what I was feeling. She took a step forward like she could reach me from across the space. It's been 14 years, Ollie. I stepped back, away, headed for my room because I couldn't look at her for a second longer without completely losing it. I shouted over my shoulder as I banged into my room. Be ready in 15. This isn't up for discussion. Chapter 8. Ollie. 10 years old.
This is a bad idea,
Ollie whispered. If their daddy found out about this, he'd have Ollie's hide. Sydney grinned.
Are you scared, Ollie Jolly? Of course I'm not scared. This is just stupid.
A frown pinched his sister's brow.
What do you mean, stupid? This is a pact, and a pact means forever. There isn't anything stupid about that.
Nikki shifted beside him where the three of them sat at the back of their yard, their knees touching where they sat in the moonlight beneath the pour of the moon. He looked that way. She smiled, softly, with the tip of her head. Something tightened in his chest, tightened in his stomach. She looked like a fairy with those big purple eyes. Unreal. So perfect, she had to be fake.
"It's a pact, Ollie. Forever,"
Nikki said, like she was trying to get him to understand. "Forever." He swallowed hard and picked up the knife Sydney had sneaked out of the kitchen. He turned his hand over to reveal his palm, pushing the tip into his skin. He sliced a shallow cut into his flesh. He bit his tongue, trying to pretend it didn't sting.
"Does it hurt?"
Sydney asked, scrambling to get closer to watch the droplets of red bead in his palm, interest and awe in her expression.
"Not much,"
he glanced between the two of them.
"You sure you want to do this?"
"Yes,"
Sydney giggled, biting her bottom lip, always too excited for her own good. She was always racing off, getting them in trouble because she refused to listen. Never being bad, but never following the rules either. And Ollie had promised his mom and dad that he would make sure she did. He was pretty sure this was breaking that promise in a bad way. Sydney took the knife and held out her hand, counting under her breath.
1, 2, 3.
She squeezed her eyes shut when she made the slice. Then she giggled wildly.
"I did it!"
She held up her hand as proof.
"Your turn,"
she said, handing the knife off to Nikki. Nikki's teeth grabbed on her bottom lip. Ollie could feel her getting nervous next to him. He always could. Knew she was going to be scared before she even knew it herself.
"You don't have to do this,"
he encouraged her, barely tapping her knobby knee with the pads of his fingers.
"I want to,"
she whispered back, but her words shook. She looked at him, a plea on her face.
"Do it for me?"
"I won't know if it hurts."
"Yes, you will. You'd never hurt me."
He hesitated before he took the knife. She was right. He'd never hurt her. Sydney took Nikki's opposite hand while Ollie took the other, holding the tip of the knife to her palm. Nikki sucked in a shaky breath, and Sydney squeezed her hand.
"Fly. Fly, dragonfly."
Nikki's lips moved silently when she repeated Sydney's words. "Fly. Fly, dragonfly." Ollie slipped the knife across her palm. Nikki flinched, then smiled, holding up her hand in her own kind of awe as she watched the tiny line of red bubble up. Sydney pushed her hand out to Nikki.
"We are three, forever and ever, you and me."
Nikki smashed her palm to Sydney's.
"We are three, forever and ever, you and me."
Ollie did the same with Sydney, and his sister beamed at him when they chanted the oath Sydney had made them swear back when he was in second grade. He didn't know why his stomach felt different when he turned to Nikki, but something shivered through him when he pressed his palm against hers. Their eyes met, and they whispered at the same time,
"We are three, forever and ever, you and me."
Forever.
Chapter 9. Nikki. He didn't say a single word to me on the ride to Pepper's Pies. The infuriating, brooding, fuming asshole who I wanted to wrap up and hold and keep was completely closed off. As if I was putting him out. Like he couldn't be bothered. After he'd been the one making all those overbearing demands. His dumb, gorgeous face was held rigid, and those sexy, muscled arms rippled with tension, making the field of purple blazing stars shiver across his skin. I thought maybe if I reached out and traced them, they'd be real. That the small touch would take me back to the days when we'd run through their fields, free. Fly, fly, dragonfly. Old grief tremored deep in my chest, thrumming and pulsing out. I swore that I could see it clash with that furious, provocative sort of energy held in every inch of Ollie's delicious body. As if he wrote a fine line between past and present, never fully surviving on one side or the other. I wanted to reach out, be his lifeline, his savior when he'd forever been the one saving me, ruining me, keeping me, alienating me. Push, pull, taunt, tease, take, leave. My head spun. Wanting him so desperately and still praying for a way to finally break free of his chains, I was beginning to think that was impossible. Not with the way I'd felt looking at him this morning. The man standing at the end of his hall, wearing nothing but his boxer briefs, body big and thick, burly and intimidating, his need evident where his cock had pressed so massively against the fabric, almost as evident as the power that had blazed between us, electricity that spun in sharp, spindly barbs, stakes to my skin, a hook in my soul, my wicked savior. My beast. Too bad he had to be such a jerk. He whipped into an angled parking spot in front of the diner. I yanked at the handle and pushed open the heavy door, fumbling out from the low car and onto the pavement. Day was just beginning to dawn on the horizon, a gray glow breaking above the mountains in the distance. I slammed the door shut, freezing when he finally spoke to me through the open window.
Pick you up at 3.
That won't be necessary. He whipped his face toward me as fast as he'd whipped his car into the parking spot.
Yeah, it is.
You can't tell me what to do. So maybe he had me feeling petulant, off kilter. Could anyone blame me?
Ah, 10-year-old Nikki, my favorite.
Mischief moved through those glittering eyes.
Feisty and stubborn. Don't make me throw you over my shoulder the way I used to do.
I shot him a glare while my tummy did a backflip.
You wouldn't dare. Wouldn't I? Think you've forgotten who you're talking to.
You're impossible.
If you want to call being right impossible, go right ahead.
Of all the overconfident, presumptuous, cocky...
That's what I thought,
he said with a smirk, cutting off my internal tirade. My mouth dropped open, tongue at the ready to protest, but he tossed me a grin, threw the gear into reverse, and revved the engine. The sound had me stumbling back, and he jerked out of the spot. Without a glance, he shifted into drive and gunned it. The man just left me there, staring behind him, wanting to stomp my feet and throw a fit or maybe just scream. Arrogant asshole.
What on earth?
I whirled around when I heard the voice coming from down the sidewalk. What had I done to anger the gods? Only a curse could explain this string of bad luck. When it rains, it pours and all of that. Because there was Lilith with her hands on her hips, wearing one of her fitted pantsuits and heels that made her look like some kind of vixen who'd rolled around in $1 billion. Rinna, the owner of Pepper's Pies, was at her side.
Tell me you didn't have a one-nighter with Oliver Preston.
Lilith went all power attorney lecturer on me. That's what I got for picking a BFF who was going to turn out to be a lawyer.
I mean, I know you're infatuated with him, but seriously, Nikki? That isn't healthy. That man is liable to break your heart.
I had to hold back the dubious laugh. Too late. He'd done that a long, long time ago. He'd been doing it all along. Guilt swept through me. I hated that I kept it from her. She was my closest friend. Still, the sad thing was, she'd taken Sydney's place. And Sydney hadn't known the full truth either, so how could I tell Lilith? Maybe it was stupid, but that felt like another betrayal. I forced a playful scowl onto my face.
Oh, stop it. You know full well I didn't have a one-nighter with Ollie. He may star in a fantasy or two, but that's where it ends. I think I'm a little too hot for him to handle.
More like he'd burn me to ashes. Lilith narrowed her eyes in suspicion, forever searching for the truth. But I'd played this one off for so long, she wouldn't recognize the lie.
Then why is he driving you to work?
Rinna gave me an "I second that" look as we turned and headed up the sidewalk toward Pepper's. I crossed my arms over my chest.
I think the real question is, what are you doing here before 5 in the morning, Lily? Shouldn't you be back home snuggled up in bed with that hot husband of yours, getting yourself more of those orgasms I was so kind to set up for you? Rinna and I have work to do.
Loosely translated, I knew Rinna wouldn't give me such a hard time. At Pepper's front door, Rinna turned the key in the lock and widened the door for us to enter. Pepper's fronted Fairview Street. It was another area that had undergone a massive rejuvenation over the last handful of years, including the luxury hotel Lilith's husband Broderick and his company had developed directly across the street. The entire area buzzed with possibility. Peppers served sweet pies and pot pies and breakfast pies. You know, basically heaven. Rinna had inherited the little diner from her grandmother and brought it back to life. Her grandmother's unique recipes were the staple that brought patrons in droves every single morning. Lilith gave a casual shrug. I thought I'd help set up this morning. I shot her a dry look. Dress like that? Another shrug. So maybe I woke up starving and wanted the first slice of pie this morning.
Are you pregnant?
Nothing like a little deflection. She gasped a horrified sound.
Shut your mouth! You know Brody and I aren't ready for that.
Yeah, you have empires to build. I waved my hand dramatically. Lily's husband, Broderick Wolf, was the CEO of Wolf Industries. His company had been responsible for a bunch of the revitalization projects that had been taking place in Gingham Lakes over the last several years. She scoffed.
Hardly. We're just focusing on us for a while.
And all those orgasms I earned you. I have to say, my matchmaking skills are on point. She playfully rolled her eyes Rinna's direction.
She really thinks she set us up with Brody and Rex, doesn't she?
Rinna smiled. The woman was one of the kindest people I'd ever met.
You know there's no rationalizing with her madness. Let the poor girl have her delusions, she teased.
Delusions? I gestured to myself with both hands. This is the stark, glorious reality. I'm responsible for all your happiness. I think you should give me all the presents as a thank you.
Rinna's light laughter tinkled through the air, and my chest tightened in stark affection. I was so happy for her, for Rex, that he'd found the love of his life after everything he'd been through. Rex was one of Ollie's best friends, and I'd known him my whole life. Rex and Kale had become members of our pack somewhere in our childhood, with us nearly as much as Ollie, Sydney, and me had been together. Rinna had adopted Rex's little girl, Frankie Lee. Rex and Rinna had a little boy named Ryland, who was a year and a half old. I'd stepped into the role of honorary auntie faster than the doctor could say one more push. I adored those babies, my heart overflowing every time I got to be in their space. Of course, that rule applied to the newest member of our extended family, Evan. Sweetness didn't come close to describing that little thing. He'd been born completely deaf and had required a heart transplant as an infant. The thing about him? The child was pure joy, just like his mom, Hope. Honestly, sometimes when I saw Hope and Kale together, I was the deepest shade of jealous a person could be. I didn't mean to be, didn't want to be. But sometimes it was hard to watch all the things you wanted most, feel them burn inside of you, and have the deep-lying fear that they would never become a reality. Rinna flicked on the switches right inside the door. Bright lights burst to life in the darkened space. We all blinked, adjusting to it. The echo of pots and pans clanged from the very back of the kitchen where Kevin, the head cook, would have already been working for the last 2 hours preparing for the morning rush.
"Morning, Kevin," Rinna hollered, moving around the counter to start the coffee.
Priorities and all.
His voice was barely heard when he shouted back,
"Morning."
Lilith slid onto one of the swiveling stools.
"So what were you doing with Ollie this morning?" Lilith asked point blank.
Did I really think she'd let it go? I sucked in a breath, already knowing the riot my response was going to cause. But there was no hiding this.
"Someone broke into my apartment last night."
Rinna's hand flew to her mouth.
"Oh my God."
Lilith flew to her feet.
"What?"
she demanded while Rinna moved toward me, her hand reaching to grip my forearm, her eyes searching as she whispered,
"Are you okay?"
I knew that wasn't going to go over well, but I did my best to downplay it, to shake off just how truly shaken up I was. Shrugging a shoulder, I leaned against the counter and did my best to sound convincing. Seth was the one who responded to the call. He thinks it was just kids running around being punks the way they love to be. They're lucky I didn't catch them. A little ass-kicking would have ensued.
Or maybe I would have grabbed them by the ear and dragged them back to their mamas the way my grandma used to do when I was getting unruly. Death by humiliation. I'm pretty sure that's all they need to teach them a lesson. I mean, seriously? Doesn't the world have enough douchebags? Here I'd been crossing my fingers it might skip this new generation. This isn't funny, Nikki. A shiver rocked Lilith's entire body as if she'd just been slammed with visions of every single horrible thing that could have happened. Kids aren't the same as they used to be. As if I hadn't noticed the downward spiral of decency. Distress rolled the length of her throat. They can be dangerous and mean, and they don't think twice about taking someone out if they think it will get them something they want or cover something up to keep them out of trouble. I deflated, because it wasn't a joke. Not at all. Deep down in my gut, I knew I'd been targeted, that it was personal, the way Ollie had said. Brenna and Kyle's faces flashed through my mind. They were worth it, and I'd learned a long time ago fighting for what was right wasn't always easy. I rubbed my palms over my arms. I know, and I promise I'm not being careless, which is why I went to Ollie's place. I could fight with the man about going back to his loft until I was blue in the face, but the truth of the matter was, I was thankful. Thankful that he'd somehow known I needed him. Rinna moved back to the counter. She pressed brew on the coffee machine before she turned around and propped her hip on the counter. So, you called Ollie and he came running? Something like that. Lily's brow arched. What do you mean, something like that? I sighed. It wasn't like I was surprised that she'd insist on pushing the issue. I searched for an explanation that wouldn't cause an uproar. He'd stopped by just as I was getting home after the meeting, so he was there when I discovered it. Surprise and speculation slashed a bunch of lines across her forehead. I could almost see the cogs turning in that analytical brain of hers. He just happened to stop by? An uncomfortable chuckle rumbled in my chest. He said he was worried, you know, since you went and told him I'd bailed on you for drinks when you knew I just needed to study. I tossed out. The traitor. She probably thought she was doing me favors. The problem was, she didn't have the first clue she was throwing me to the wolves. Her brows lifted. Maybe I was worried too. Since when do you pass up an awesome bottle of wine on my balcony with your best friend? Since I decided to do something with my life. Hey, managing Peppers is doing something with your life, Rinna pouted through a tease. A light chuckle rumbled out. Of course it is. Turning back to Lily, I cleared my throat. Correction, since I decided to do something different with my life. Lily pursed her lips. Uh-huh. Okay, so you're busy. I get it. That still doesn't explain Ollie showing up at your place. Are you sure there isn't anything you want to tell us? She pushed. I shook my head. There's nothing to tell. You have to admit, things have been super weird between the two of you for the last year. She pointed at me to stop me from speaking when my mouth started to flap with another flimsy excuse. Because things had been incredibly weird between Ollie and me over the last year. Worse than ever. I just hadn't thought she'd noticed. Yeah, he showed up, stayed while I dealt with the cops, and then kind of demanded I go home with him since my door was busted in. He said it wasn't safe for me to stay alone. Since when do you do anything someone tells you to do? Since an overbearing brute of a man decided he wanted to be my defender. Have you met Ollie? I figured that answer would suffice. A sleepover at Ollie's. Sounds to me like you're begging for trouble. Rinna's observation blazed into the air. There isn't a whole lot that is simple when it comes to that man. My attention darted to her. A sea of unease lapped and churned in my belly. Ollie and I are old friends. Why'd it have to come out sounding like a confession of guilt? Rinna blushed with whatever thought went racing through her mind, and Lily was looking at me as if she were chipping pieces of me away and labeling each one as evidence. That's all you have to say about it? After you've been gushing about that man for all of forever? Dish the goods, lady. God knows you always demand them of me. I had gushed.
telling Lilith I thought Ollie was hot and if I got the chance I would chew him up and spit him out. At the time, it had seemed like the best way to explain away the longing looks that lasted just a little too long. Play it off. Pretend. It was what I'd done to make it through. Believe me, if I had goods to dish, I'd be spilling because that would indeed be a fun story to tell. I lumbered through the lie. At least I got it out. The one where he picked me up and dumped me in his guest room where I slept alone and then brought me here this morning? Not so much. I left out all the million other things that made the situation complicated and so very messy. How I'd woken to hearing him having a nightmare and begging Sidney's name. How I'd wanted to go to him, comfort him. He'd only made it worse when he'd stumbled out of his room, rumpled from sleep, looking so sexy I'd wanted to toss every single promise I'd made about him right out the window. Lilith pointed at me. I call bullshit. I know that salacious mind of yours just went to dirty, dirty places. I demand a confession. I shrugged. The man's hot, and he was sleeping in the room next to me. Don't blame me for a fantasy or two. Worry pursed Rinna's mouth. What do you do now? I'm not sure I like the idea of you going back to your apartment by yourself. Lily nodded. Me neither. The second you told me what side of town you were moving to, I knew it had trouble written all over it. Okay, Miss Moneybags, I shot at her. Her mouth dropped open in offense. Hello? You do remember I had to have Adeline take me in when I had no place to live. It's not like I haven't been penniless before. I'm going to have Rex start looking around for a house that his crew can fix up. It isn't right that you're living in that dump by yourself, Rinna piped in. And here I thought Lilith was going to be the problem. Adamantly, my head shook. There is no way I'm letting you two buy a house for me. Rinna carried on as if I hadn't said a thing. We've been talking about getting some investment properties. Really, it would be a favor to us. Not a chance, Rinna. I'm no charity case. You know me better than that. She shook her head as she flipped on the heat lamps in the window. I do, and I know you slave away here at my little restaurant for meager pay. If anyone's getting charity, it's me. I think it's a great idea. Lilith agreed a little too eagerly. Maybe Brody can fund it, and together we can get another rejuvenation project going in Gingham Lakes. There are quite a few old neighborhoods that would benefit from one. It's good for everyone. The community, the economy, the investors. It's a win-win, really. Excitement bounced between the two of them. That would be amazing. Rex and Broderick back on a project together. Y'all are out of your minds. I said with a flippant wave of my hand, turning to start filling the little creamer pitchers. When I said give me all the presents, I was thinking along the lines of a gift certificate to a drop of hope, or maybe a nice Vicky's Secret bra, you know, the push-up kind, since my boobs are basically non-existent. I didn't mean a house. Lily pursed her lips. Well, you can't go back to that hole, and it isn't like you can stay with Ollie forever. God knows I love him, but that man is a moody bear. He'll eat you alive. That was exactly what I was worried about. I didn't respond. Or has that been your plan all along? Tell me you didn't go into some dark alley and pay some sketchy-looking guy to bust in your door just so you could sleep in the same house as Ollie. You got me, I told her, the words scratchy with dry sarcasm. Hey, when a woman gets desperate. She had no idea. I spun back around and leaned on the far counter, arms across my chest. I'm not desperate. He's the one insisting I go back over there tonight, that he doesn't want me staying alone. Lilith widened her eyes. Are you surprised? I guess I am. Shocked, floored, stupefied. I figured the last thing Ollie wanted was to be in close quarters with me. He cares about you. Rinna said as if it were as plain as the coming day lighting up on the bank of windows that faced the street. I shook my head. No. The only thing Ollie cares about is being a savior. Isn't that the same thing? No. Not when it was going to destroy me in the end.
Chapter 10 Ollie Seth, it's Ollie. He blew out a breath on the other end of the line. Hey, man, was wondering if you were going to call. You think I wouldn't? I paced the concrete floors of my loft in front of the big bay of windows that overlooked my balcony and the city beyond. I had a view of the river twisting through the buildings as it cut through Gingham Lakes. My loft took up the entire third floor of the building. Olive's existing in the bottom two floors besides for the small bit at the back that was my garage. The main room was open, decorated in dark woods and even darker leathers. The entire vibe echoed peace. Too bad I felt none of it. Seth chuckled a bit, but there wasn't a whole lot of amusement to it. Nah, I knew you would, especially with the way you looked like you were going to lose your mind last night. That was the problem. That was exactly what was happening. I was losing my mind. You want to tell me about this line of bullshit you were feeding Nikki about it being a bunch of kids breaking into her place? Because it sure didn't look that way to me. He sighed, and I could almost see him rocking forward in his office chair at the station to lean his elbows on his desk. That's exactly what it could be, Ollie. We see cases like this all the time, but there was something about it that felt purposed, like someone was trying to send a message. My hand curled tighter around my phone. And what kind of message would that be? The sound he made was strained, like he didn't know what to offer me. A warning? Anger tightened around me. Chains, constricting tighter. That doesn't mean that's what it was. It's only a hunch. Silence spun for a second before he continued. Has she made any enemies lately? Maybe broken up with somebody? My teeth gritted. Because I should know. Should know everything about her, hold her secrets, her dreams, her joy. I was the one who'd crushed every single one of them, and I sure as shit shouldn't be pissed by the idea of there even being someone for her to break up with. Not sure, but she's been interning with a psychologist, helping her run some meetings. She was texting someone last night from there on the ride back to my place. Gut tells me it has something to do with that. He exhaled heavily. Anything happening there is going to be confidential. You can't get in the middle of that. If it means Nikki's safety, I can. Ollie, he warned. I had you call me because I want you to know what's going on, to watch for anything out of the ordinary. Not for you to take off hunting like... He trailed off, leaving the rest suspended in the distance between us. My mind filled in the blank. Like Sydney. I'd hounded that station for 14 years. They'd labeled it a cold case, and I'd labeled that bullshit. If they wouldn't hunt, I sure as hell would. I won't let anything happen to her, Seth. It was my own warning, a promise. Because whoever this fucker was, he was gonna learn I had a message to send, too. I heard the bedroom door snap open. Hell, I probably didn't even hear it. More likely I felt it, the presence stepping out from the far end of the apartment. That aura she wore was like an additional layer of her skin, glittering diamonds and glimmering golds reflecting off the sun. Swore I could feel that girl from a mile away. Bare feet padded on the concrete floor. That feeling grew stronger and stronger with each step. It had covered me whole by the time she made her way out into the main living area.
"What are you doing?"
she asked. That sweet voice hit me from 10 feet behind. With the way chills went skating across my skin, she might as well have been whispering into my ear. I stirred the ground beef I was browning in the skillet, giving her a quick glance over my shoulder, trying not to get wrapped up in her. Fresh out of the shower after I'd picked her up from work an hour ago and took her back to her apartment to pick up her car. Now the girl stood there, hair wet, skin damp, expression confused. Spirit fierce. That was what always got me more than anything. The way she glowed, this unassuming, timid belief, all wrapped up in a wide, bright smile. What's it look like I'm doing?
Cooking?
It was pure, horrified concern. I chuckled a little. Seems like we're on the same page, then. Curiosity drawing her forward, she rounded the tall table surrounded by stools that acted as a partition of the kitchen and living area. Or maybe it was just me. because I could feel the tether pulling, pulling, pulling. The question is, why are you cooking? Aren't you supposed to be downstairs working? Probably. She popped her hip on the counter and crossed her arms over her chest. The stance pushed up her tiny tits, soft mounds of flesh swelling over the neckline of her tight tank.